Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, the Bible says this: when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a statement! What a statement to look at a man that's standing right in front of you and say, "I believe you are God. You are the Messiah. You are the one that's been promised. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a statement that was. Look at verse 17 now. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus asked the disciples who they thought he was. And Peter answered correctly. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus explained to Peter and to the other disciples that God the Father in heaven is the one that revealed that amazing truth to Peter. And then Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter. He'd been addressing him as Simon, but then he says on verse number 18, he says, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." He changes Simon's name to Peter, and then Jesus said that he himself would build the church. I want you to understand, a lot of times people get this confused, and they'll say, "Well, Peter was told that he was going to build the church on this rock. I will build my church." He was talking about Peter, and false religions have been built that way. But I want you to understand, the subject of the conversation was the identity of Jesus. He asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said, "Well, some of them say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're Elijah or one of the other prophets." And then he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" The subject of the conversation is who Jesus is. And then Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Right after that, Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." Understand this. This really isn't the message this morning, but you need to understand the importance of it. The foundation that the church of Jesus Christ is built upon is the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To say that Jesus is the Christ is to say that he's the Messiah. That he was the one that was promised by God throughout the Old Testament. To say that Jesus is the Son of God is to say that he is the eternal God who became a man. Do you realize what Peter said? He said to Jesus, "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There was so much in that statement. To say that Jesus is the Son of God is to say that he is that eternal God who became a man. Colossians 1:15, if you want to hold your place in Matthew, and if you could find this place in Colossians, I want you to see this. This is so important for us to understand. If you've been a Christian for a while, you probably understand this, and you probably said, "Oh, I got that a long time ago." But if you're a newer Christian, or if you're just growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you kind of just began that, I want to show you something that's just going to change everything for you and help you to understand why it is we make such a big deal about Jesus Christ and about him being the foundation of the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible is talking about Jesus Christ. I'd like you to take a look at that later and just go back a few verses and see that. But it's talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him," who is it? By Jesus Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he," talking about Jesus Christ, "is before all things. And by him all things consist. What an amazing passage. Peter said, I believe thou art the Christ, that means the Messiah that's been promised, and that thou art the Son of the living God. When you realize that Jesus Christ is God, it changes the way you think about Him. It changes the way you pray. It changes the way you understand the cross. It wasn't just a man dying on the cross. It was God Himself dying on the cross. And then amazingly enough, the same passage, in the very next verse, connects Jesus, the invisible God, the creator of the universe, the eternally existing one. It connects Him to His church. I want you to look at that, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It's the very next verse. We're talking about Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By Him were all things created. And in just the description, everything, whether it's in heaven or in earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things created by Him and for Him. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. And then you get to verse number 18, and it says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. What's going on here? Jesus and His disciples are having this conversation. Who do people say that I am? Peter says, I believe that You are the Christ, the one promised, the Messiah, and You are the Son of the living God. You are God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, then Jesus says, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hopefully you understand. He's not talking about Peter being the rock that the church is built upon. Jesus is talking about the fact that He is the Christ, He is the Son of the living God, and upon that rock He is going to build His church. Jesus explained a lot of truth about the church in that one statement. Would you look at it again with me? Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a mouthful. There's a whole bunch of understanding in that one statement. First of all, Jesus taught us who the church belongs to. Who owns the church? Who does it belong to? Is it part of an organization or is it part of a denomination? And we're talking about the church. We're talking about this church. If you go through the Bible, you'll see this. I looked through it yesterday. Most of the time when the Bible is talking about a specific church, it'll say something like the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, or it'll say the church of God, which is at Corinth, something like that. If it's talking about multiple churches, a lot of times it's going to use the plural, the churches. They send this letter to the churches. And what we need to understand here is it's not just a big group of Christians that belong to Jesus Christ, but even more specific than that, it is this church that belongs to Jesus Christ. The church of God in, if you want to say, the southwest, we're in the northwest, and the northwest side of Albuquerque. You can understand that He's talking about not just a church, but this church. Jesus taught who the church belongs to. This church. New Heights Baptist Church belongs to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that's so important for you to understand this. Sometimes kids will come up to me, I'll invite them to church, and they'll say, do you own the church? Absolutely not. They got too much debt for me. I don't own the church. I don't own the church. None of us owns this church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. As Paul was saying bye to the leaders of the church in Ephesus, this is what he said. Acts 20, 28 is where I'm reading from. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Oh, understand that this morning. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about the church building. If this church building was to somehow disappear, burn down, fall into the ground, whatever would happen, there would still be a church here because the church isn't the building. The church is the people that Jesus Christ purchased with His own blood. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 gives you a little bit more information about who owns the church. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish. The church of Jesus Christ belongs to Jesus Christ. So he taught us so much. He taught us who the church belongs to. And then he taught us who builds the church. Would you look at that verse in Matthew again? It's Matthew chapter 16, and verse number 18? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And what's the next phrase? And upon this rock I will build my church. It belongs to Jesus, and then Jesus taught us who builds the church. The church is built by Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Understand this. It was built by Jesus Christ in the past. It is being built by Jesus Christ today. And it will continue to be built by Jesus Christ in the future. Now, this is important for us to understand. I can't build the church of Jesus Christ. You can't build God's church. And that leads us to something very important. Building the church should never be our goal. Our goal is not to build a church. I'll get to what our goal is here in just a moment, but our goal overall is obeying and pleasing God. Let me challenge you to do something. Let me challenge you to live your life in such a way that you please God. To look into the Bible and study the Bible in such a way that you look through it and say, God, how can I live in a way to please you and to obey you? I can't build this church. You can't build this church. Now, I can see people saved, and we'll get to that in just a moment. And then Jesus can build his church, but I can't build it. You can't build it. In fact, that's not our job. If our job was to build this church, we'd probably do it a little bit differently. We would do what would draw the most people in. We'd probably have a concert every Sunday morning, and we would probably not even have church on Sunday night. And we would stop going soul winning, and we'd probably not do things like vacation Bible school, things like that, because that's really not what's popular. But that would build a church. I mean, that would grow a church. We'd have a pretty big church if we did that, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to please Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse number 46, there's this great verse about Jesus building his church. I'm just going to read it to you. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. There's a bunch of people getting saved. It's the brand new church growing. Jesus had just ascended up into heaven. The Holy Spirit had been given. People are being saved. And so people they're gathering together, and they're going to the temple. They're going house to house, different people's houses, and they're praising God. The Bible says having favor with all the people. And then the last part of this verse says this, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Peter didn't build the church. James, John, go through the rest of the apostles, they didn't build the church. Now they obeyed Jesus Christ and they shared the gospel, that was the Great Commission, but they didn't build the church. Who built the church? Jesus built the church. The Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We can't build God's church, only Jesus can do that. But we can tell people how to be saved. Now listen, the church didn't have a building yet. The church wasn't even very well organized yet. The church didn't have deacons yet. It may not have even had a pastor yet. I'm not exactly sure. But James wasn't mentioned in a leadership position until Acts chapter 15. All of these things the church didn't have. Can you even have church without a building? Can you have church without? Absolutely, right? Can you have church without being really organized? Absolutely. We prove that every week, right? Can you have a church without all the fancy things that a church needs? Well, you can't have a church without an offering. We understand that. We've been having two offerings every Sunday the last few weeks. No, what do you need? You need Jesus to build the church. We can tell people how to be saved. We can preach the gospel. We can teach the gospel. We can share the gospel. We can broadcast the gospel. We can post the gospel. We can copy and paste the gospel if you want to do it that way. We can message the gospel. We can upload the gospel. We can Facebook Messenger the gospel. We can tell the gospel. There's all kinds of things we can do to get the gospel out. And when we tell people how to be saved, some of them will get saved. The more people we tell, the more people will get saved. Then the Lord will have more saved people to add to the church. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, we can't build the church that only Jesus Christ can build. But we can provide the saved people that he can use to build it. We don't do the saving. God does. But we tell people how to be saved. We don't do the building. God does. But we're responsible to be good stewards of the people God adds to His church. Listen, if somebody brings, if God brings a new convert into New Heights Baptist Church, that is a person that as a church, we need to realize God has trusted us with an eternal soul. God has brought that person here. We need to love them. We should accept them just like they are. We should teach them how to grow as Christians. We should encourage them along the way. Let's be good stewards of the people that God brings in, that the Lord adds to the church, those people that are saved. Jesus taught us who owned the church, who the church belonged to. Jesus taught us who built the church. I'm trying to get to the message. I got to work through all of this real quick. Jesus taught us who the church is built upon. Who's the church built on? Jesus Christ. The church is built upon Jesus Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The context of the conversation was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The church is built on Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation for this church and any other Bible-believing church is Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there's no reason for a church. Without Jesus, there's no message for a church to preach. What would you get up and preach about if we had a pulpit and we had a platform? And by the way, if you're a guest here, the reason this platform is so high is because we've got a basement down under there and it comes right up to the bottom of the platform. So we had to build a really high platform. It's not so that you have to look up and hurt your neck. It's just what we had to work with. There'd be no point. What would you do if you got up behind the pulpit, if I got up behind the pulpit and I stood up here and there was a crowd of people and I was opening up any kind of book I wanted to open up and I didn't have Jesus to preach about? There's no point. There's no message. Without Jesus, there's no church, no truth for a church to believe. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine going to a church that didn't believe in Jesus Christ? Could you imagine going to a church that didn't even believe the truth of the gospel? Did you know that those are the fastest growing religion in our country is the religion of not believing in anything. And there is a movement in our country, it's actually a worldwide movement, of people going to atheist churches. Does that just blow your mind or what? You go to a church so that you, well, I actually looked it up, and what do they do at atheist churches? Well, they kind of just make fun of what we do at our church, really. What's the point of going to church if there's no Jesus Christ? What's the point of going to church if there's no foundation to build upon? Jesus taught us who the church is built upon. It's built upon Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus taught us, and I'm going through these points quickly because I want to get to this last one. Jesus taught us that hell would never defeat the church. Jesus said this, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have Jesus' word on it. Beyond that, at the end of the book of Revelation, I want you to look at this. Revelation chapter 22, if you will. This is the very last chapter in the Bible. When you get there, you find that the bride of Christ, the church, is alive and well. The gates of hell can't destroy the church. The devil wants to destroy the church. If you go back in history, and I didn't take the time, and I didn't want to spend the time in the message this morning because I thought we were going to be short on time today. Reading you some statistics about how many people have died just for being a Bible-believing Christian, it'll blow you away. If you go back into the time period right after Jesus was here, the first 300-400 years, you realize that so many of the Christians died at the hands of pagans and even at the hands of the Jewish leaders. You go on past that and you realize as the Catholic Church begins to grow, the Catholic Church begins to kill Bible-believing Christians. They're called different names. They're called Donatists. They're called Paulicians, I believe. They're called Waldensians. They're called Anabaptists. They're called Baptists. But for hundreds of years, thousands and thousands and thousands of them were killed by the Catholic Church. You realize the devil wants to do everything he can to destroy the church. Whenever the 1400s, 1500s came along, men were trying to translate the Bible to get it into the language of the common people. Men like John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and they would take the Bible and translate it from Greek and from Hebrew, and they'd write it into the English language. And the churches, the Anglican church, the Catholic church, other churches as well, they would take those Bibles that had been translated into the common language of the people, and they would take them and burn those Bibles, and then they would burn the person who translated those Bibles. The devil's been doing everything he can for as long as he has to try to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. It's right at the end of the book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible. It's talking about something that hasn't happened yet, but will happen. And it's Jesus talking. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto thee these things in the churches. Revelation 22, 16. I am the root and offspring of David and of the bright and morning star. And in the very next verse, look at this. And the Spirit and the Bride, say come. Who is that bride? That's the bride of Christ. That is the church. As you follow the history of the church, you realize the church of Jesus Christ is called the bride of Christ. As you get to the very end of the scriptures, this is almost to the very end. This is right before the last verse of the Bible. And it says the Spirit and the bride, say come. The devil can't destroy the church. The devil will continue to try to destroy the church, but he can't destroy the church of Jesus Christ. It's built upon Jesus. Jesus owns it. Hell will never defeat the church. The church of Jesus Christ will always be under attack until sin and Satan are cast into the lake of fire. Just understand that. We're in a battle. We're always going to be in a battle until we're called up into heaven. You can't forget that. In Sunday school class this morning, in our Bible study, the family's Bible school class, did I say that right? The family's Bible study class, which we started again this morning. We started a six-week series on, and here it is, the five steps the devil wants to use to destroy you and your family. You've got to understand, the devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. And he would love it if he could destroy the church. But Jesus said, I own the church. The church is built upon me, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against my church. We're always going to be under attack until sin and Satan are cast into the lake of fire, but the gates of hell will never prevail against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Matthew chapter 16, if you would. We read through this passage. What an amazing passage it was. Jesus asked, Who do people say that I am? The disciples say, well, maybe John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, who do you say that I am? We preached about this last week. And then Peter says, well, I believe you're the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, verse 17, says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. But my Father which is in heaven, Peter, I know you didn't come up with that on your own. God has made that clear to you. God's the one that revealed that to you. And verse 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. What's our context here? What's our topic? What are we talking about? We are talking about the church. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word it, talking about church, because that is the topic of this verse now. Now go to verse number 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And then we have so many jokes now about Peter standing at the pearly gate. Well, why do we have those jokes? Well, from here, the idea that this has been taken and people have said, well, God gave Peter the keys to heaven. So if you get to heaven, you got to get through Peter. Maybe you pray to Peter and ask him how to get there. Or you tell a joke and you say somebody died and there's Peter standing at the pearly gates. I'm probably not the only one that's heard a joke like that. Where do we get that? Well, we get that from here. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And we pictured Peter standing there with a big golden key, and he can unlock the gate and let people into heaven whenever they die. I want you to understand that's not what this is talking about. Let's read that verse. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We see that Jesus is the owner of the church. Jesus is the one who builds the church. The church is built on Jesus. We see that the gates of hell could never defeat the church. And this last point is so incredibly important. I want you to understand this. Jesus taught us the incredibly important responsibility of the church. I don't believe Jesus was just talking to Peter, although he addressed him. In this conversation, he's been talking to all these disciples. The disciples that have been following him, it's a moment, it's a kind of a private moment between Jesus and his disciples. He's asked them, who do people say that I am? And they answered. Who do you say that I am? And then Peter's the one that answered. Jesus talks to Peter, but everybody's there. And he says, I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he goes beyond that and he says this. And whatsoever, let me read it so I get it exactly right. Thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus explained that he was going to build a church on himself that would belong to himself. Then Jesus looked at Peter and to the rest of the disciples and made an amazing statement. And he said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's incredible. You mean what I do down here matters up there? And beyond just what I do matters, he said, whatever you bind or tie up, whatever you gather and you receive and you pull in and you, the word bind, tie up, whatever you get on earth, that's what's going to be bound in heaven. But whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus was speaking to the people that he would be using to build his church. Now, Jesus hadn't given them the Great Commission yet, so they might not have really understood the importance of this statement. I'm going to give you the bottom line because we're just about out of time this morning. Do you like bottom lines? I like bottom lines. We could go for like 10 minutes and explain the bottom line, or I could just give you the bottom line. Let's go for the bottom line. You ready? People saved on earth spend eternity in heaven. People lost on earth spend eternity in hell. There's the bottom line. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell cannot prevail against my church. And I'm giving you, church, something that you need to use. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving you something that you need to use, because if you don't use it, people are going to die and they're going to go to hell. I'm giving you these keys to the kingdom of heaven so that you can bind things on earth, and those things that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. If you loose it on earth, if you don't bind it on earth, it's not going to heaven. What are we talking about? I really believe we're talking about people. I believe we're talking about the souls of mankind. God became a man and died on the cross to save people from hell. Do you understand that? If we're talking bottom lines, let's talk bottom line. Jesus said that he came, Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's why he came. God came to this earth to save sinful people. That's why he came. That's why we have Christmas. That's why we have Easter. That's why we have church. That's why we do all of this, is because Jesus came to save sinful people. And whatsoever is bound on earth, if you go out and you reach somebody with the gospel, they get saved. They're going to heaven. If you don't go out and don't reach somebody with the gospel and they don't get saved, they're going to hell. That's the bottom line. And that's as simple as it is. Jesus gave the responsibility of rescuing lost people from hell to the church. If we reach them before they die, they'll go to heaven. If we don't, they'll go to hell. That's a very sobering statement. Absolutely true, though. And that, New Heights Baptist Church, is why we're having Vacation Bible School tomorrow. That's why we have a bus route that we run on Sunday mornings and get here early, and we had a great time this morning on the bus. That's why we do it. That's why we have soul winning on Saturdays at 10 o'clock in the morning, so that somebody can go out and somebody can tell somebody how to be saved, and somebody can trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And somebody, when they die, won't go to hell, but they can go to heaven, because whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I know you could teach some other things from that. You could teach about how God answers prayers and other things like that, but I want you to understand this is a very true statement. If somebody is saved while they are on earth, they will go to heaven. If they are not saved while they're on earth, they will go to hell. I want to encourage you to get involved in that. Jesus was talking to the disciples and specifically to Peter, and he's challenging him. He said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Let me explain that to you just real quick. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. We're all sinners. The punishment for our sin is to die and go to hell, but here's a great key to the kingdom of heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I just gave you the key to the kingdom of heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Trusting Jesus Christ. I could take that and I could give that to somebody. I could take that. I know how to get to heaven. Do you know how to get to heaven? I think you do. You know you trust Jesus Christ to get to heaven. If you're saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm giving you the key to heaven right now. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Promise. Key to heaven. You have been given, just like Peter, just like the disciples, you have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You could let somebody into heaven. Okay, let me rephrase that. You don't save people. We sometimes somebody will come to church and they'll say, this person saved me. Miss Jen saved me. No, Miss Jen didn't save anybody, right? She's pies in people's faces. Miss Jen can't save you. I can't. No, you can't save anybody. I can't let them into heaven, but I can show them how to be saved. And then they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. They can be saved. Do you understand the importance of that? With the keys to the kingdom of heaven, with the ability to show somebody how they can know for sure they're going to heaven, if I tell them and they get saved, they're going to have eternal life. If I don't tell them, they don't get saved, they're not going to have eternal life. It's that simple. To paraphrase what Jesus said, I'll build my church. I'll protect my church. You go reach people before it's too late. Father, I pray that you'd use this message this morning. We all need to understand this important responsibility that you've given to us. We're not responsible for building your church. That's your job. We're not responsible for owning your church. You even said that you'd be the one that would protect your church. And then you gave us the responsibility to go reach people with the gospel. You gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You showed us how to be saved. You made it so very clear. And then you gave us the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, I pray that you would just use this verse, these verses, this message this morning to help every single one of us to answer that call and to respond by saying, yes, I will share the gospel. Yes, I will be a soul winner. Yes, I will give towards the soul winning ministry so more people can be saved. Lord, I pray that you would use us as a church. Lord, help us to reach more people with the gospel. Help us to bind more people here on earth so that they can go to heaven. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray that you'd use this next week in a very special way. Lord, I pray that many, many people would be saved because of New Heights Baptist Church working hard to reach people with the gospel. Lord, please use us.